I'm back. Now, forewarning, if you'd like to follow along with the Bible readings this morning, you don't have a Bible and need one, put up your hand now and Steve can give you one. I mention that now because the first reading is very short. So if you don't get them in time, you're going to miss it. Our first reading is Psalm 133. Yes, I've got that right. Joel's already given us a hint of this one, but it's so good it's worthwhile going again. And it's one of those psalms that proves that you don't have to use a whole lot of words to get a very good message across. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And the second reading continues our series in Ephesians, and we're looking at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading from verse 11. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, to which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you who are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole body, the whole building, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Hi everyone, I'm David, the pastor here. Welcome to church. Keep your Bible open there at Ephesians 2. And as I look out at you today, I just can't believe what I'm seeing. Wow. Do you know, what I'm seeing here is so amazing. I am seeing a miracle right here this morning. This is truly incredible. This is bigger than someone walking on water. Wow. This is even bigger than someone raising the dead. You know what I'm seeing here? I'm seeing a whole group of people who were once hostile to God, who were once God's enemies under his judgment. I'm seeing people who are now united with God. Wow. People who have been raised up and are seated in glory That is truly amazing, don't you think? What a miracle you are, Wente Anglican Church. But that's not all. You know what other miracle we're seeing here this morning? We've got people who, by the standards of this world, there's no way you would be here together today. You wouldn't be friends. But we've got people here who are from the far-flung parts of planet Earth who are here, gathered here today, united. Don't you think that's amazing? Give yourselves a clap. You guys are truly a miracle. This is it. This is really incredible. And I mean this. This is amazing. We often don't see the miracle that is before our eyes. The unity that we have here between you and God and between each other. Two miracles here. Truly amazing. Now, where looking at our church's vision. We're renewing the vision. And this morning, we're thinking about our vision for unity. We're renewing our vision for unity. We've been reading the book of Ephesians, and Ephesians chapter 2 is about those two great miracles. Unity with God that we have, and unity with each other. Now, you've got to understand, in the ancient world, there were two groups of people that were as far apart as you could get, the Jew and the Gentile. They wouldn't even eat with each other. That's how far apart they were. But see, in the church, through the death of Jesus, they were brought together as one. In fact, you know, so united were Christians in the ancient world that they were called a third race. They weren't Jews, they weren't Gentiles, they were a third race, a third group of people, a new community, a new society. Outsiders became insiders, rejects became heirs, low class became high class. And Paul's vision of this new race, this new people of God, is truly amazing. And we're going to look at that this morning as we think about our vision for unity. Do you have a vision for unity for our church? I hope that after today, you will have. As we think about these three images for our vision for our church. The images are in verses 19 to 22. Have a look again at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, see if you can pick up the three visions here. Verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Did you catch the three pictures there? They are the pictures of being a citizen, being a household, and a building. Let's look at each of these in turn. Each of these is going to inform our vision for our church. The first image here is the image of being a citizen. All right. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. This is the image of fellow citizens being together. This image is going to remind us what we have in common. Now, we all love our country of origin, don't we? Put your hand up if you're from India. Put your hand up if you're from Holland. Put your hand up if you're from Fiji. Put your hand up if you're from China. Put your hand up if you're from Australia. Put your hand up if you're from England. Put your hand up if you're from America. Okay, hi. We're from different places around this world, but we love our citizenship. Citizenship is the kind of thing that tugs at our hearts, doesn't it? Citizenship makes us who we are, especially when you're watching the Matildas, doesn't it? You're just so proud to be an Aussie right now, aren't you? When we see our Matildas win. But see, what Paul is saying here is that you are fellow citizens with God's people. You and I have a citizenship that is far better, far precious than any other citizenship that you can own. What you and I have is a spiritual citizenship. See, when you belong to a country, you're united by flag and laws and customs and food and interests and sporting events. But our heavenly citizenship ties us together in a way which is far, far greater than any other citizenship, because we have a heavenly government. We have a heavenly king. We're under his protection. Our citizenship is in heaven, and our passports have been stamped with the blood of Jesus. How precious it is to have this citizenship, to have access to the paradise of glory. That's what we have, access to our king. And you know what that means for us here today? We don't have a little bit in common. We don't have much in common. We have everything in common. Truly amazing. You know, I grew up in a church that was full of white Anglo-skippies. All right, it was a pretty Aussie church. Just down the road, actually, in Seven Hills is the church I grew up in. And, you know, we'd go to church and we'd dress the same and we had, you know, common interests. We all followed the Parramatta Eels, and it was a great church. I thank God for my church upbringing. But, you know, in my young adult years, I ended up going to a multi-ethnic church, and we had nothing in common. We dressed differently. We were from different parts of the world, different countries. People spoke different languages, which I didn't understand. People loved different foods, which I didn't like. But you know what? We discovered that we have everything in common. You know why? Because the differences felt in the background, and the things that we had in common rose in front of us. And we rejoiced in the fact that we were forgiven. We rejoiced in the fact that we spoke the same language, actually. We spoke the language, a language from the heart. Because we, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we had everything in common. Friends, that's the experience of being a Christian. See, no longer are you Indians. No longer are you Australians. No longer are you Sri Lankans. You know why? Because now we are all Christians. That's who we are. Your home is no longer the red earth of South Sudan. Your home is no longer the far villages of India. Your home is not even the suburbs of Sydney, Australia, because our home is the heavenly city. That's where we belong. You and I are now part of this third race. Friends, that's why, by the way, we are a church that wants to make disciples of all nations. We want to see all people come under the lordship of King Jesus. Jesus never said, go and make disciples of one nation. That's not what he said. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And God is committed to diversity, and so should we be as well. That's why we call ourselves International Church, because we're a church for all nations. You know, Wente Anglican, we don't want to be a white Aussie church. We don't want to be a brown Aussie church. We don't want to be, you know, a caramel, you know, Aussie church. We want to be an international church. That's what we're going for. Church for all nations. And if you've come to this church and you feel as though you don't fit in, and if you feel as though I'm not like anybody else in this church, then guess what? You've come to the right church. Because that's exactly what we want to be. We want to be a church which is full of people who are different to you. if you're here this morning and you feel different to anyone else here, that is wonderful. That's what we're going for. That's what we want. You fit right in. Keep coming. So this is the first image here, the image of being citizens. It reminds us that of what we have in common in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the second image that this passage tells us about. Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and, look at this, members of his household. What are we? We're family. We're family. And this image will remind us of our close relationships that we have. And, you know, this image is actually better than being a citizen, because do you realize that citizens can live at opposite ends of the country and never see each other, but families, wow, they live under the same roof. Citizens are tied by, you know, constitution, but families, they're tied by blood. Oh, that's so much, that's such a stronger tie, isn't it? Because my father is your father, and my savior is your savior. And you know what that means for us? You know what that makes us, whether you like it or not? We're brothers and sisters. We're family. And that's very special. That's way more intimate than anything else that we have. Let me tell you about what this means for our relationships with each other, the fact that we're family. You know what it means? It means that within our church, there's intimacy. You know, in families, we have mothers and brothers and sisters and fathers. And sometimes we come to church and we look around and we worry and we think, do I have any friends here? Is that person my friend? But do you realize that what we have here goes deeper than friendship? What we have here is family relationships. That's much deeper than any friendship that we have. It's way more intimate. That's why we're so sad that our dear Gladys has gone to be with the Lord. We're happy for Gladys. I mean, she's rejoicing. She's having the time of her life. But we're sad for us because we miss her. Why? Because, well, she was like a grandmother to us, wasn't she? And so we miss her. And it's right that we feel that way because we're family. And family and relationships, they all take time. They all take effort. You know, can you be in a family and not give time to being in that family? I mean, when you're in a family, you have family gatherings and there's family occasions and there's special events and there's things that you celebrate. Can you be in a family and not give time to being in the family? It's the same with the church. It's the same with your church family. Can you be in a church family and arrive here late and leave early and expect to know people deeply and intimately? No, you can't. Can you be in a family and not be in a small group, a growth group? It takes time, doesn't it, to be in a family? But look, it's a wonderful investment of your time. There's intimacy, but in families, there's also transparency. You know, one thing I've learned about being in a family is the transparency. I was single for most of my life, and no one knew when I, you know, came and went and how I was feeling, what I was eating. But, you know, now I've got two people living with me. And I go out somewhere, and I come home, and there's a little voice that says, Daddy, where did you go? You know, he wants to know my comings and goings. There's no pretending when you're in a family. You can't hide. People know when you're grumpy and when you're upset, or they know your happy moments. They know everything that's going on for you. And when the Bible says that we are members of a household, you know what it's saying? It's saying we're in a community where there is spiritual transparency, where there's openness, where there's honesty. We want to be a church where people know the best and the worst about each other. We want to be a church where we're in relationships where we're honest with each other. That's what families are like. There's transparency. Are you putting yourself in relationships where there's transparency like that? I hope you are. But in families, there's also bearing with each other. You know, when you come to church, sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. Families do that. Sometimes there's misunderstanding. Sometimes there's things we don't get right. I mean, look, if the Jews and Gentiles can sit down together and eat, then we should expect conflict. There should be conflict at times in the church, but we are to bear with each other and seek to understand each other. And look, you know, sometimes if coming to church feels like you're at a party where nobody is talking to you, and sometimes church can feel that way, you know, those kind of parties where you're there and you just, you know, you got an invite and no one else, you don't know anyone else, and they seem to know each other and they're not talking to you and you think, what am I doing here? Sometimes church can feel that way. If that's you, here's a little tip for you. All right, here's a tip. Make sure you say yes to everything. Okay? Say yes to getting yourself onto a serving team. Say yes to joining a growth group. Say yes to a meal invitation. And if you're lonely, why don't you be the person to ask people into your events? Invite people to your home for social events. You be the one to initiate the conversations, because we're family. And family takes time and it takes commitment. Okay, that's the second image that we have of church. Oh, and sorry, let me say, by the way, that's why we're asking you to pledge money for next year, because families talk about money. Families talk about budgets, and that's why we're asking you to think about your capacity to give in 2024 and to think about how you can give to the work of the gospel here at Wente Anglican. And by the way, there'll be a short question time over morning tea back here in this building if you have any questions about pledging. Okay, so come here and I'll seek to answer your questions if you want to know more. But that's the second image there, the image of family. And the final image that this passage gives us is the image of a building. Look at verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. This is the final picture here. It's the picture of the temple. The temple is now the closest picture of unity. It's the most relationally intense because, you know, look, a family, they live together in a house, but in a temple, God lives with us together in the temple. And what this image reminds us of is our intimacy with God. That's why the temple is called holy. Did you catch that word? Holy. It's a holy temple. Why is it holy? It's because God is living inside us together. Look, it's one of the great truths of the Bible that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you individually, right? That's a great truth. It's a great comfort that we have, but that's not what's being talked about here. What's being talked about here is that every church, when we're gathered together like this, God is living inside us together. We are the temple of God right here. Every church that gathers together when the people are trusting in Jesus is a living temple Isn't it amazing? The God who once lived in a tent in the wilderness, the God who then lived in the temple in Jerusalem, is the same God who now lives within us. Wente Anglican Church. Wente Anglican Church. We are the temple of God. God's address is on the corner of Pritchard and Garfield Street, Wentworthville. Isn't that amazing? And we're not talking about the building, are we? We're talking about the gathered people of God. We are the ones that God inhabits together. It's when we get together and when we're hearing from the Word of God and when we're praying together and when we're pouring our hearts out to each other, when we're sharing our hearts together, God inhabits us together. I mean, how close to God can you get? This is the God who lives with us. Friends, there's something really, really special about being together like this. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on what we have here. See, right now, God is living within us, and we're experiencing that together. Look, in this building, there's a foundation. Did you see that? The foundation. The foundation is the apostles and the prophets. These are the ones who gave the word of God to us. Our church is built upon the authority of the scriptures. That's what our community is built upon, the authority of the word of God. There's the foundation. There's also the cornerstone. That's the stone that gives the building its stability and its character. Now, in Isaiah 28, we're told that this cornerstone is the precious cornerstone. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's so precious to us, isn't he? He's the cornerstone. And because of his death on the cross, what he did for us, he's so precious to us. The fact that he would die for us to give us life. He's so beautiful. And he is the cornerstone of our church, and he is the one who shapes our church. He's the one who gives our church its stability, who gives our church its beauty, who gives our church its character. That's Jesus. And then there's us. You know what we are in this building? We're the bricks. Okay? And it's, you know, funny, the Gentiles used to be excluded from the temple, and now they're part of what God is building. So verse 22 says, in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling. And the thing is, every brick is different, right? We think of bricks as like this, you know, they all look the same. But, you know, the bricks that you see there, that's not the church. That's more like a cult where everyone is the same. Okay, that's not what the church is like. It's how depressing it is when everyone's the same. Isn't it exciting that people are different? Wow, it's so wonderful. It's so enriching to have people who are different from us. Every brick is different. No, the church is more like this kind of structure, where in the ancient world, walls would look like this, where every brick is different and every brick is selected specifically to fit into the right spot. Okay, we aren't meant to be the same. We all have a part to play. You know, and some stones, as you can see in that picture, carry more weight than others. But sometimes there's just one tiny stone that just fits into the right spot. See that stone there? It just fits into the right spot to close up the gap, and it fits into the place where no one else can fit. You see, every brick is important. You know, the smallest, quietest Christian is just as important as the most boisterous, loudest Christian. They all have a part to play. And as you keep reading the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 4 will apply this unity to us and say, all of us have a unique gift. a unique gift to contribute to the life of the church, to help build the unity. So let me ask you this morning, what's your gift? What's your spiritual gift? I don't know if you've thought about that before, but do you realize if you have put your trust in Jesus, you have a part to play in the life of this church? You have a gift to contribute. You know, it could be that your gift is simply to sit down with people and listen to them, pray for them. What a wonderful gift that is. Someone in my growth group this week said that their gift was just to turn up to church and be regular. What a wonderful gift that is to the life of our church. Hasn't Rex been such a blessing to our church in using his gifts for the unity of our church, in helping us to keep things running? What a wonderful gift. Rex, thank you again for your gifts that you've given to our church. There's so many ways in which you can serve. You know, we have needs in our church. We need people to help with administration. We need people to help with Holiday Kids Club. We need people to sign up to help us start running a homework club here. We have needs for care ministry, children's ministry, and the list goes on. What's the gift or gifts that you can contribute to the life of this church to help the unity and build it up? And do you realize the things, what we're being told here is that these bricks are being shaped? What does it mean to be shaped? You know, what shapes you is the cornerstone. What we're being told here in this passage is that we are being built together. We're built together. We're a brick that's being shaped around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea here is that God is the master builder, and he goes and he takes his stones out of the quarry and he pulls them out one by one and he selects them and he looks at them and he looks at the structure and he thinks, I think that one could go there. No, it doesn't quite fit. Chip gets out his hammer, chip, bangs away at it, takes some of the rough edges off it, smooths it off a bit, takes off a bit more, puts it in the right place, cements it together. That's what God is doing in our church. He's building us together. You know, he's using each other to grow us and to build us. And he's doing it around his son, the cornerstone, shaping us around him. He's, as he chips away at us bit by bit, as he makes us more grace-filled, as he makes us more welcoming, as he makes us better listeners, as he makes us more humble, as he makes us able to bear with each other. He's using each other to do the shaping, building us around his son, so that you're someone who gets supported by others as a brick, and you become someone who is supporting others. And we're all being shaped around the cornerstone. See, all of this is giving us vision for our church. We want our church to be a place where we share our private relationship with God with each other. We don't want to keep our prayer life to ourselves. We want to share our prayer life with each other. We don't want to keep to ourselves what God is teaching us and speaking to us. We want to share it with each other. Sometimes in our growth group, I ask the question, what has God been saying to you through his word? And it's so exciting to hear what people say. That's the kind of church we want to be. And do you notice something here about this building as well? Look at verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. What we're told here is that the building rises. Now, last time I checked, buildings don't rise. Buildings are static. Buildings are mechanical. Buildings stay where they are. But what we're told here is that this building rises. The word actually means it grows. It increases in size. This building is acting more like a tree than a building. All right. Of course, the answer is that God's temple, God's building, it's not a dead building. It's an alive building. It's growing. And friends, isn't that our church? Isn't that what God is doing within our very midst? Here's a picture of our church, about 5 years ago? And here's a picture of our church last year. And it's grown more since then. Isn't it good that God is bringing people to our church? And do you realize that some of the people who are in our church are people who have never stepped foot into a church before? Isn't that wonderful? That God is bringing people to himself through the life of our church. Wow, I love that God is doing that. And so let me finish by saying, Wente Anglican, you are a walking miracle. You're a walking miracle because you've been united to God and you've been united to each other. Isn't it any wonder that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, he says that the church shows the manifold wisdom of God. God has chosen in Wente Anglican Church to show off his manifold wisdom, his multicolored wisdom. You know, the church, you look at it, can look unimpressive at times, it can feel like hard work, but do you realize we are the church that is actually in God's trophy room to show off God's wisdom, to show us his incredible power to bring us all together and unite us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you caught the vision for unity? I hope you have, because church is more than just showing up, sitting in a seat, and then going home. See, church is about being built up together, being deeply committed to each other, sharing our life together, so that we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You're part of something big here at Wente Anglican. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you again that you are building your church. Thank you that on the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death for us, you've brought us together. You're shaping us, you're building us into the precious image of your Son. Lord, would you keep doing your great work in our church for your glory? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.